Station number 16720, Mr. Bob Wilson, Reel 5.
Mr. Wilson, Reel 5. Was there an actual ceremony that you had to take part in when you came off guard and the new guard was coming on? Was there some kind of a parade, guard parade?
Yeah, the new guard was coming on. No, the new guard, as I said, the new guard was on the square like I was on the square the day before, being inspected. And when they'd been inspected, and all the officers said march off, the guard used to march off to the guard room. And then the two guard commanders used to relieve the sentries on duty with the new sentries, and the old guard used to form outside, and the generally the battalion on the sergeant then, not the old officer, used to come up and say, guard dismiss, and the guard commander used to march you off the square.
And during the course of that day, you could sleep, relax, whatever?
Well, you couldn't get into bed, but you could relax. You could relax. I mean, you're not just sort of, you could sit on your bed, lie on your bed, but you couldn't tuck yourself in, sort of thing. But generally used to go down the canteen and have a banyo, a cup of tea or something. But that's the way it worked.
Pickets. You tell me about pickets?
Yeah, pickets was it was lovely when your name came on the. Champion, I'm on picket, not on guard, you see. And I think if you were, liked, you know, and mollycoddled, you got more pickets than you got guards, you see. And I'll tell you how it used to suit. It used to suit battalion sport. And people who played for the battalion, it doesn't matter what sport, they very seldom went on guard. I was, before I go on to pickets, I'll tell you about the guards, eh? The RSM came round one day and he was watching the company plane. And as I say, without blowing me under, I was at Cardiff Football, and I have been for years. And he said to me afterwards, RSM Marks it was, I told you his name. And he said, do you like a football, Wilson? And he said, it's under attention, no? He said, well, are you in your football game or not? I said, I do that. He said, you might be battalion standard, but I doubt it. You might be, but I doubt it, you see. So anyway, I got a trial for the battalion with this that great friend of mine, Topper Brown. Not CSM Brown, the other Topper Brown. I went down to his funeral and I saw him die, as a matter of fact, Farnham, rather. So I got a trial with the battalion, playing another battalion, and I did very well. And he came to me and said, I wanted to go on to battalion training. Well, as soon as he said that, I knew I was made. Now, it was up to me then to wash my P's and Q's and do as I was done, because I'd been told. So, because it's... He went and saw the company sergeant major and the company sergeant major at Sandford and he said, they're telling me, Wilson, that you've been picked to try and make the battalion team, said, yeah. And I was a good hockey player as well, so, which I can prove to you if you think I can prove that. So he said, fair enough. He said, now stick in. And that's one thing, man. Football and hockey and cricket were. I would play that all day and all night, don't worry about it. But I never did another guard. Not another guard. And I missed more pickets than anything. Because I was on football training, I was on hockey training. Eh? Cricket, I hated.
So sport was very high in the...
Oh, it's number one, you know. Number one in any battalion. Sport. Anyway, getting back to your question, which I apologise for. Pickets. Oh, I'm on pickets. Good. Now, all you had to do there was do your belt, your uniform, that, and your belt, and your sidearm, bearded in the scum. Now, that was your, you walked on like that. And you just fell in like you do on the guard, and then got inspected and march off, and you maybe be a pick was generally guard an ammunition dump or something like that. And all you went there, you went to the little guardhouse at the ammunition dump, you know, and then you used to pick a pick held up, and that was your weapon all night. Well, you know, 6 o'clock or 6 o'clock.
And how many would be on picket?
Just the same as guard, two on two.
Did you parade with the guard when you were going
on? No, you see, the guard was already on there from 9 o'clock. The picket went on at 6 o'clock at night.
Discipline. People who, you know, did something wrong. What forms of discipline was given?
Is it Switzerland? Suppose I did something wrong. Suppose I was late on parade. Or suppose I hadn't done my haircut. Or suppose I went on parade not shaved properly. Or suppose I went on the parade with anything and it was wrong. And the inspecting officer said, "Tell that man's name, sir, Major. I'll tell that man's name, Sergeant." So the sergeant took your name. He knew it, but he still took it. Right? Wrote it down. And then you went in front of your company commander, and then, because the sergeant made the charge out, going on parade with not having a haircut, improperly shaved, dirty buttons, things like that, you see. And you, that's read out here, and the your company commander said, "How do you play?" And I play guilty, because you knew it was right, you see. Me were playing not guilty, right? And guilty. He said, "Well, why?" "I'm sorry, sir, I hadn't time. I don't know what it was, but before I knew what it was parade time." "All right," he said. "I'll take an explanation for you. 3 days confined to barracks and get up a half an hour earlier." So 3 days confined to barracks. So 3 days, three beer, used to say then, but that means confined to barracks. Well, that means you couldn't go out. And after parades, the bugle used to go defaulter's call, and used to run up to the guard room, pour in outside the guard room, and be inspected by the guard commander. And if there was no more chores, if there's any chores to do in the guard room, you did them. Or if any chores wanted to be done, you did them.
And what might they be?
Pardon?
What might they be?
Anything from, the guard commander might feel a horrible moan, some leaves blown on the parade ground, he'll tell you to pick them up. As fast as you pick them up, the things are blown down. But things like that, you see, just to keep you on your toes, and then they used to say fall out. But that call came every hour, you know. From 6 o'clock to the lights out, you got that call every hour. They want us call.
And you'd have to be prepared for it.
So you had to be all right, sitting on your bed ready for it. You double up to the guard room, see?
Did you have to parade with the guard?
No, you played on your own. Well, the guard had nothing to do with it. You just fell in outside the guard room. And the corporal of the guard used to follow in and check. He used to have a list, of course, who was on default, as you see. And who should be there. And if he wasn't there, of course, then put the black mark against him and find out later on. And he used to go around and inspect you. And then the guard commander come over your side, and the reason a good news to say, "Dismiss him, corporal." Out of the moon, anything.
What more serious offence might take place?
Oh. Well, it's things like firing, you know, on the range, or losing your rifle. Things like that. How can I put it? I'm sure. Let's have a. And the glory of all, you know, is the conduct of good order, middle to discipline, you know. It covers a multitude of things and covers an out, you know. there's all sorts of things. You know, losing kit. Now that's. But the rifle and ammunition is the most serious charge. And of course, theft and things like that, you see. Very rare.
What kind of punishment would that be? That
when you could, or absent, being absent without leave, or overstaying your leave and absent without leave. So you come back to become the commander again, you march in front of the commander, left, right, left, and all this palaver, and he lays a charge out, and comes out, he lays a charge out. How do you plead guilty, sir? And then, if it's a serious charge, he'll tell you there and then, he says, well, I'm sorry. I can't deal with this, Wilson, you're going to have to go to the CO. So then you fell out, and then you go in front of the CO at about 11 o'clock in the morning. Company commander is always 9 o'clock. And you march in front of the CO, and the CO will say, well, how do you feel? How do you plead? And I go, well, why? Why did you do such a stupid thing like that? Like, which is the, that's how it's there. I lost the round of ammunition, you see, that was, they were always worried about that, you know, no, you see. I don't know where I lost it, sir. I really don't. Because I'm very crap, you know, but that's always kind of near DCB, you know, at the least. Because they were frightened of the idea of somebody having a live ammunition because he's got a rifle, hasn't he?
Then there must have been more serious ones where you actually were fastened in the guardhouse, in the guard room.
Pardon?
There would be more serious crimes where you were fastened in the guard room.
Oh, you mean where you... Oh, yeah, well, if you were absent without leave and you came back, you were banged straight in the guard room, you see. Serious charges like that. Or drunk and disorderly. You come back from the town drunk and drunk, you know. You whipped to the guard room. Caused an uproar in the nappy or in the barrack room or anywhere. Bang them in the guard room.
Was there any punishments where you had to run round the square with your rifle held up or what have you, that kind of thing?
You did more things like that in the gym. When you weren't on the charge. You did. Yeah. It's very simple you run round the square like the olden days. Like the hill. Did you ever see that picture of the hill? You're very simple saw anything like that. But when you were in the gym, you used to go around, not with a rifle, you know, but something above your head there like that, and running around the thing, climbing up the many wall bars, and it was punishment in the gym, punishment. But sometimes you saw, it all depends, again, it was guard commander, you know. See, yes, Mr. Teller, right, jump around the square twice, at high porch, you know, with your rifle up here, you see. See, maybe, but very, very rare.
Keeping your rifle clean, how did you do that?
Well, that was the number one priority because that got into, that could get into more trouble than anything else, you know. It's good. And have you ever tried yourself to keep dust away from anything? You can you? Well, your rifle stood by your bedside in a proper little slot, you see. The other days you used to have a chain on. Or the rifles used to be down the centre room later on when the RAS started, you see, and they used to be locked by a chain at night time and fastened. But you used to draw your rifle out, and the first thing I had to do was clean it, you know, pull it through, you know, do all the dust out, and you would have a look at it. And now you could see it was perfectly clean and everything like that, but the inspecting officer would have a look and he would say, dirty rifle, well, you've got no sear. You kind of see he's telling lies, but you know he is. Probably kind of see the ball, didn't mind. Inspected. Had a bad night. But you're always clean driving, trying to get all the cries, all the dirt out and everything, you know. And lots of people, I did it myself. And you know, when you see anybody going out shooting, they always have a cover on. Well, I bought one of them myself. Put on my rifle.
What was the pull through?
Well, that was a piece of a cord with a brass end, and at the other end was a loop. And in that loop, you put a piece of cotton net which was called 4x2. The reason it was called 4x2 because the piece you put through is 4 inches long and it's 2 inches wide. You put that on your end of the hook, drop your brass string through. It comes out the breech, you see, You get hold of the brush, you get the brush, keep your rifle like that, and you pull it gently through, and it surprises me what that comes out. Right? And you do that two or three times, and it's awful after you've been on the range firing. And you do that two or three times, and at the finish, you put a clean piece of rag on, four by two, clean piece of 4x2 on, smear it with oil, and pull it through. Well, of course, what does oil do? Collects all the dust and mantle, then, but it still keeps you out.
And it was quite an offence in their eyes to have a dirty rifle.
I think it's one of the things you dreaded when you went on parade. That your rifle wouldn't pass the test, although you'd spent hours. And the last thing you did before you came out was get one of your mates to pull your rifle through for you. It was one of the things you dreaded. Let you do more times than enough.
You mentioned your bayonet. What did that look like?
Great big long thing. Shook down my side here. In a scabbard.
And you have to keep that clean, you said? And was that just polishing or oiling or what?
You weren't supposed to polish them, you know. You weren't supposed to, you see. What you used to do with them was buff them on the buffer. And then you used to, again, smear the oil on, you see. But you had to forget to take the oil off before you went on parade, you see. As you had a dirty bayonet, which you hadn't, but you had a one.
What other items of equipment did you get with the battalion? You have a rifle, bayonet, you've talked about belt and things.
Well, an infantryman has a rifle. And that's it, really. Of course, part of the infantrymen has got your Lewis guns, which eventually became the Bren gun, as you know. But it started off with Lewis guns, see? But that was it. That was, you had a Lewis gun section, naturally. He did it with Lewis gun. Now, then you had my sympathy then, because they had a hell of a lot to clean, hadn't they? Rather than the rifle. But it was a Lewis gun that was there first, and then the Bren gun. But that was, and your 2-inch mortar. I nearly forgot about that, your 2-inch mortar.
The webbing equipment, what were you issued with?
The webbing equipment those days was the belt on here with your two big long pouches here. Now, them two big long pouches was for the Bren gun. That's what they brought in. They carried the magazines, because there were a magazine shaped like that. They carried that. They put them in there.
So where did you keep your own ammunition for your rifle?
In your pouches.
So every infantryman would carry so many Bren gun magazines for the Bren gunner?
Oh, yes, aye. Yeah.
Packs, what kind of packs were you issued with?
Well, they did away with the big packs, you know, and you used to go and you carry a little small haversack, and even that was done away with, you know. And after all, the haversack on your back contained the stuff that you might need, such as a change of socks, a change of things, a change of that. But nothing like the old pack on the back there with the cardboard down the sides and the cardboard on the back, the cardboard on the front, so it was always square. That's all they wanted, something square.
You would be issued with a greatcoat.
Oh, yeah, that was monstrosity as well, you know. And it wasn't warm. A great big, it just scuff your neck to, and you couldn't, of course, you couldn't put a scarf on, could you? You weren't allowed a scarf on. And even your own tunic, when it was fastened up. I mean, little lads, I did it myself. Got my mother to put a piece of line in the collar, you know. A piece of light cotton, linen or whatever they call it. So it didn't scuff your neck. It was illegal, wasn't it? And if the officer saw it on parade, you know, it didn't say it, mate, but you never know. You'd probably rush. And yet they had it. On that.
So the uniform wasn't particularly comfortable.
No, and we got shown up when the Yanks came. They were wearing uniform, it was like civvies. beautiful uniforms, marvelous. And we eventually got what was called a number one uniform, was walking out. Well, that was a lot better. But it wasn't a parade thing, it was only for going home or going on leave or going to the town or something. It was the old battle dress that was giving you the trouble.
What time would this be when you got a number one uniform issued?
Pardon?
What time would you get this number one uniform?
Whenever the company commander said yes. The company sergeant major, not the company commander, because he did as the company sergeant major said.
Was it pre-war, before, when they came out, or during the war?
Oh, I got them before the war, the number ones. Yeah. We had them in, we first got them in China, and then all of a sudden, we were allowed civvies. Now, that was something. I meant to keep that out for you, when my first civilian clothes pass. Yeah. Still got that as well, issued. And then you were allowed to wear civvies to go out, but for the first time you had a parade in the civvies to show what sort of civvies you're going out in. Things had improved in 6 years since I joined up. From 1933, 1939, there was vast changes from when I went in. For the better.
Water bottle? We issued with a water bottle.
Oh, yes.
Now, obviously, that held water. Were you ordered as to when you could use that water in that water bottle?
Only on route marches. In peacetime, that was the only time you were told. In peacetime, you were told a certain time when to take a drink. And a certain time not to take a drink. But in wartime, it was different. And that was strapped on the side. In the carrier on the side here.
You mentioned the Lewis gun, which was the first light machine gun. Were you taught how to use that?
Oh, yes, yes, oh, yes. You weren't in the Lewis gun section, but you were always taught to use in case the Lewis gun section got wiped out.
Can you tell me about the Lewis gun, what kind of a weapon it was?
Well, maybe you've seen some war pictures and aeroplanes, fighter aeroplanes. Now, they were manned by a Lewis gun. You remember them were in the cockpit. And there were a gun, it was just a barrel on sort of two legs with a cylinder on the top with rounds. Now, that's the simplest way to explain it. You lay down behind it, you put the butt into your shoulder, you pull the trigger back which loaded it, you took aim through your sights like a rifle and fired in short bursts.
Was it effective? Was it a very effective weapon?
Very, very. A good Lewis gunner, you know, could go around his target in a circle. A good Lewis gunner.
Did it have any faults at all?
It was inclined to be, I think its fault was mostly the jamming, but it was easily rectified. They always, Lewis gun jams, you said, feel, rotate, and pull back. Now that cleared the jam. And that was the main thing. Or if it was the other way, stuck in the base, feel, counter rotate, and pull back. But it was simple. There wasn't much to learn. And not much to clean. And not much to assemble, or it was all on a tripod, clip on, and the two legs, you see, was on the front, no legs at the back, two legs in the front, butt resting on the ground, clamp your magazine on the top, lift it up, into your shoulder, pull into your shoulder, take aim, and fire short bursts.
You mentioned the 2-pounder mortar. What was it like?
Just like a drain pipe. That's all. It's just like a drain pipe with just a little solid base. And you stuck it on the ground, of course you used to have people who used to sight and get the range, and of course you used to have a range finder on the side, and you used to put that to whatever you wanted, and of course as you were doing that, the barrel was tilting, see? And then you just dropped it in and stepped back. And of course when you drop the mortar bomb in, it hit the pin at the bottom and flew off.
Was it efficient?
No. The Three-inch mortar was. Couldn't have been two.
Why was that?
And the three-inch mortar fired a... It was like a rifle, in a way, the three-inch mortar. You could guide on the target, you see. Three-inch mortar could... you know when they talk about strutting and anything? Well, they could do marvellous, the three-inch mortar, you know. You could go up the top and it was down 25, or it was short 25, up 25. And you could pinpoint your target and be able to put it in a crack where the two-inch mortar was, you know, hit or miss.
Did you have any anti-tank weapon at that time?
Well, the only thing that we had in an infantry battalion I'm talking about now was the boys' anti-tank rifle.
What was that like?
It was a .55 millimetre, which was a big cartridge when you think about it, you know. And then it kicked like a bloody mule and that. But that's all it was. That was a game. It was on a tripod. Just a long barrel. Nothing special about it. Sights on. You load it with the same way as you load it in. Put it in the breech, take aim and fire. And it was a good weapon in a way, because it would pierce, but would only pierce light. Wouldn't pierce a tank or anything like that. I'd fired a .55.
Do you have any other weapons at this stage?
Bow and arrows sometimes. No, all we had was rifles, Lewis guns, 2-inch mortar, because we hadn't them, but there was a proper mortar, and the boys anti-tank.
Did you get any experience of the medium machine gun?
You mean the Vickers? No. We had a machine gun company, which was always D company, and then it became S company, which was support company. But I had nothing to do with them.
Can we look at the organisation of a battalion? How was it organised? A battalion, or in this case your battalion, how was it organised?
In which way?
Companies and so forth.
Well, you have A company, B company, C company, D company. Which D company? In which way?
Companies and so forth.
Well, you have A company, B company, C company, D company, which D company became S company, support company, and then headquarter company. Now your M4 is your fighting companies. Your headquarter company houses your CO and your QM and everybody like that. Put that on the... Now in battalion headquarters, naturally be the commanding officer. He's second in the command, and the all your room staff, and whatever, they'll be all back there, out the road. And they're quite a way behind in B echelon, as it was called then, you see, quite a way behind. But they had to be, see. But R.B.Y. Simpson and F.A. Simpson, they used to visit the front a lot then. Just like them. That's him on there, and that's what it is like.
Were there any specialist sections in headquarter company? So I'm thinking in terms of signals and so forth.
Well, there was, of course, eventually came, you know, not when I joined up, but naturally when they all came, there was intelligence section, wasn't it? Had to be. The deciphering. In headquarters, you see, we didn't come across, we didn't have nothing to do with them, you see, but they were there then. Signals, deciphering, intelligence.
Mortar section, did you have?
We had the mortar section in the battalion during the war. Yes, during the war.
Who was your first battalion commander?
We tried to think, you know. But I've got a note in there, so I'll have it for you next time, if I can remember. But I'll try and find out. Who was the first battalion commander in Germany, you mean?
No, when you joined the battalion at Kattrick...
When I joined at Kattrick, well, Seaboy Montefiore was me, but company commander. I'll find out. I'll try to.
As you were saying, basically, you didn't see a lot of them.
Didn't see anything else. Seabug. Well, you did. In peacetime, you know, you never saw enough of it, did you? Peacetime. See this award, you know. Could have done without them and saved a load of money. I mean, the only time you saw your platoon commander is if your platoon was on training or something like that, you know. You never saw him during the day or anything like that. You saw him, because he was there. But you never saw much of the officers.
Can we look again at your training? You say it was an extension of the depot, but obviously there'd be more involved in that than that.
More elaborate, you see. When you got down to the battalion, then you came into contact with your signal section. You came in contact with them and things like that. I'm sorry. And then you had the tank section. See, all the other amalgamated and came into the battalion, you see.
Were you now going into much longer route marches? How many miles might you march?
Well, I tell you where we march. You belong to Newton Aycliffe, don't you? Well, we march from Monbines Catrick to Bellaby. Now, you know how far that's quite away, isn't it? To fight our course with the rifles. March there, you know.